Christianity is not a system to get you out of hell and to make it to heaven. Christianity offers you Christ. We are following a living person. Christianity and Christ will be boring to you. This whole thing will be boring to you if you think you only need Jesus when you die. If you think you only need a system to spare you from hell, then Jesus is just a ticket to you. Jesus is just a life insurance policy. Oh, I signed up for that. I'm good. But if you follow Jesus to get Jesus, you have found the real thing. Follow Jesus to get him. To get him. Then you don't read your Bible because you have to. You read your Bible because you want more of him. Because you want to. Because the best part of your day is when you're fascinated with Jesus. And you're fascinated with the God who is. So if you want to, go ahead and open your Bible. I have a dog hair in my mouth. I have a golden retriever. It's still there. There it is. Look at this thing. When we first got the dog, it slept in a cage. And then it moved outside our door. And last night, it's in our bed. Cross the line, okay? Where were we? Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in 35, Mark chapter 4. And some of you, most of you have heard this story today. Most of you have heard it merely as a story. And you know what's coming next, and you know the information. But I want you to read this today to know its author. Make that switch in your brain. Put yourself in the story, not just for the sake of a story, but so that you would marvel at the Creator, Jesus Christ. We're only covering 7 verses today, but in these 7 verses, I want you to see, we're going to see a display of Jesus' humanity. He gets tired. He's exhausted. He's sleeping. And we're also going to see a display of his power, his divinity, his godness, that he's not like the rest of us, his otherness, his holiness. Just in context, to catch you up, in chapter 4, this is all happening on the same day, Jesus, at the beginning of chapter 4, had so many crowds pushing in on him that he had to get into a boat to just give himself some space to teach. Can you imagine that many people pushing in on you? And then he taught, and he taught parable after parable after parable. And then it says, not only that, he got alone with the disciples, and then he explained it to them. Jesus is peopled out. Jesus was an introvert. Not really, but let's read it. Here we go. As evening came, chapter 4, verse 35, same day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Go figure. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. You've probably never been in a situation like this, but I want you to put yourself there. The Sea of Galilee was 13 miles long. Okay, this is longer than the Seneca swimming pool. It's 8 miles wide, 150 feet deep. This is no farm pond. Mountains are thousands of feet high on the rim. This is the only freshwater sea that is 600 feet below sea level. So just get the setting. And certain times of the year, this environment with high mountains, low, was subject to massive and sudden storms that would come up with a hurricane-like fashion. 37, verse 37, it says, "A fierce storm with high waves, winds crashing down, water filling the boat, and this is an opportunity for Jesus to flex. Put yourself there. The boat would have had been 25 feet long by 8 feet wide and held 10 to 15 people. So we're not talking motorized sea vessel here. Mark 4:38, Jesus was sleeping. What? You're kidding me. How exhausted do you have to be to sleep through these conditions? So just one thing that stuck out. We went camping once, okay? Big mistake. Kids were 1 year old. They were still in a pack and play. Okay, Caden didn't come today, so I can tell this story. Violent storms come up, and Jesus is like, I gave you guys houses for a reason. Violent storms come up, starts to destroy our tent. It snaps the plastic buckles that hold these things together, of course. Why would they? Lightning is striking so close as I am outside trying to repair this makeshift shanty that we live in. The lightning's striking so close, it's like, flash, bang, and Jesse goes, are you still alive? This is what happened 16 years ago, never again, okay? This is a core memory. The craziest thing, Caden wakes up in the morning and says, it's raining. He had missed the entire thing. And I'm like, little man, we almost died. How did you miss that? So back to the Bible, verse 38. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Must be nice, okay? The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? Jesus is conked out, and there is just utter panic all around him. They're shouting in one account, teacher. And another count, it says, Lord. And another count, it says, Master. And some people look at that and they go, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. They might not say it with that tone, but that's what's going on in my head. No, it is displaying the utter chaos of the situation. Everyone's just yelling, Lord, teacher, master, somebody do something. Wake him up. Now, these are professional fishermen, and they are in utter panic. This had to be a scene. Storms crashing in, yelling, waves are bursting over the side of the boat. There's just utter chaos. Got the scene? Jesus wakes up and says, be silent. Stop. And it happens. Verse 39, Jesus, there we go. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the winds. I've tried that. Doesn't work. And he said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Just put yourself there. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Who can merely just speak to the wind and the waves and have it obey? This is not explainable. I can't do that. You can't do that. The government can't do that. This is not a coincidence. This is not we survived the tent storm and we made it through. This is not happenstance. We waited and then the storm came to a still. Marvel at this. Massive storms going on. Waves crashing over the side of the boat. 5-10 foot waves are not uncommon on the Sea of Galilee. We're all going to die, was their holler. And then there was a great calm because one man said, be still. Now just hang out here for a moment, because in that quietness, Jesus says, why do you still have no faith? And he just lets them sit in the awkward. Think of that. Don't read your Bible for information. Read your Bible to marvel at its author. The only explanation that we have for how this happened was that Jesus is God. They were terrified of the storm. Terrified. They were terrified they were going to drown. Scary that you're almost going to die. I was terrified in the tent. But now the text says, once the storm was calmed, they were even more terrified. Look at this, verse 41. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Everything's calm now. And they asked, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Why were they more terrified? Well, the answer is, the only thing more terrifying than having a massive storm outside your boat is having God in your boat. Put yourself there. Oh, we're all going to die. Look at these storms and winds and waves. And he wakes up and goes, stop. And everything just goes silent. What would your reaction be? It's terrifying. Do you remember in Luke chapter 5? Of course you do, because you just read it in your chronological Bibles. Peter was fishing with Jesus, and Peter said, we fished all night and we haven't caught anything. And Jesus goes, I won't say it. Hold my beer. Okay, watch this. Jesus says, try one more time. And Peter's like, carpenters always think they know this stuff. They put the nets down one more time. And so many fish came up that the nets were bursting. And Peter's response was not, sweet, we can take the rest of the month off. Peter's response was like, I've needed you on my team. Peter's response, you should read it, Luke 5, he fell at his knees and said, leave me, I'm such a sinful man. Why was that his response? Because he knew who Jesus really was. So I'm asking you today, do you see Jesus when you read your scripture for who he really is? Do you repeatedly marvel at him like he's a personal savior to you? Do you listen to his words like he's speaking to you? Or is it just a story in a book that you can detach yourself from? He is the living savior, and right now, he is alive and ruling the world. And one day he will return to rescue all who are his and take vengeance on all who reject him. So while there's still time, fall at his feet. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Take your proper place and cling to him. While there's still time, let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. I pray that it's not just a story, that you would speak as if you were here. I pray that you would work in hearts and do things that we cannot. We can't open people's eyes, but you can. We can't open people's ears, but you can. And so I ask that you would be honored in this church and let your word shape people. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.